Yes.
Yes. Should I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Yes. You know, you said attribute and attribute less. Something seems very gross and something is very subtle. So, where exactly, which point this place occurs?
No, no. Are you asking the question based on what was said in the morning?
Yes.
No, no. This is actually what the, because it is very, very difficult to exactly say where exactly the, you know, how the attribute is different and etc. No, notionally you can separate both of them, but physically where to know where you can, how to separate them is difficult. That is why when the logician tried to argue, he was sort of by showing the defects in his argument, he was dismissed. So it's very difficult to say exactly where whether, you know, initially as though it is attributeless and then some attribute comes and attaches itself to it. It's difficult to say so. Only you... So only notionally we just call this a substance and this an attribute.
Can you clarify how sat is achieved? In regard to objects.
Okay. See, by the definition of sat, sat we define as that which is there in all three periods of time. Okay. That means sat, putting it in a different way, sat doesn't have a beginning, sat doesn't have an end, then only it can be satyam. Okay. So, if consciousness and existence are different, then consciousness will be, if it is not therefore satyam, consciousness begins at a particular time and ends at a particular time. Which means, consciousness was not there before, and consciousness is not there later. Then who knows that consciousness begins and consciousness ends? Because before consciousness came to existence, there was no consciousness. So there was nobody or nothing available to mark the beginning of consciousness. Same thing if consciousness ends. Then again, there is no consciousness available to mark the end of, after this point, there is no consciousness to say so, it is not there. Therefore, consciousness per se also should be fit into the category of satyam. If sat is satyam and chit is also satyam, then sat and chit are one and the same. Does that answer your question?
In one respect, yes. But I was thinking, I was really referring to objects, physical objects, which are said to be, which are obviously existent, which are said to have their existence in consciousness.
In?
Consciousness. Their existence is nothing but consciousness. And I find that a difficult one to resolve.
Okay, we... Perhaps this evening class you had something? Is it based on something that you had in the evening class or is it based on Panchadashi that you are asking?
Verse 46. I think it's verse 46.
No. Then, you know, I have to place the answer accordingly. So. That is the Bhagatra, Bhagatyaga Lakshanam that is being said. I don't know whether, is that what you mean? No, 46 is Tritayim Api Tam Muktva.
It mentions Satyadananda in the text. That's all I mean.
Pardon?
It mentions Satyadananda in the text. And I note I have said that sat and chit are one and the same.
No. So already it was Already it has pointed out earlier. So by starting with consciousness, so what was already said is now brought in. See, in the beginning shlokas itself, this point is brought in by making the starting point as consciousness, and it started with the fact that the objects of consciousness, objects of the indriyas are many, and consciousness is one. So, sabdasparshadayaha vedyaha, they are prithak, but then this is ekam, samvit ekam was pointed out. Then, further it pointed out in all the three states it is the same. Then, since the three states are there day in and day out, that means the consciousness is there day in and day out. So, since it is always there, therefore it was pointed out that sat is also, chit is also sat. Here, in this chapter, because the starting point was chit. So, since chit is there all the time, so in all the yugas, in all the periods of time, in the past, present and future, therefore, it is satyam that was pointed out. Therefore, that satyam is that sat existence. So chitta sat that was pointed out here. And since it is already pointed out that atma is sat and chit, and then the ananda nature also was pointed out, then it was established in so in verse number 10 it was pointed out, therefore atma is satchit parananda, and this definition is given for Brahman in Shruti and it was equated. So in 46 the same quotation is brought in there, because it has already been established that Brahman is also Satchidanandam and Atma is also Satchidanandam, and the upadhi of Jiva is taken away, Atma Satchidanandam remains. Upadhi of Ishvara is taken away, Satchidananda Brahman remains, therefore both are the same. 46, I don't see anything newly mentioned. So, but taking your question that you said, so the existence of anything is proved, the existence of anything other than yourself is proved because of your being conscious of it. If you are not conscious of it, somebody is conscious. So, in short, putting it, it is because of the it is the object of consciousness manifesting through somebody's mind or the other. So, somebody or the other must be aware of it. If nobody is conscious of something, we don't know whether it exists or not. Therefore, the existence of anything is because I am conscious of it. Then, that I am is need not be proved by somebody else being conscious of it. I am self-evident, and I am also a conscious entity. In that way it was pointed out. So, I don't know further, what is your doubt? Whether I have made myself clear to you, I don't know.
So it's fine. To equate my self-evident consciousness with an inert object seems very difficult. That's what I'm trying to get.
No, please repeat.
I said to equate my self-evident consciousness,
yes,
with an inert object,
mm-hmm,
is very difficult. I can intellectually conceive that it might be possible somehow for consciousness to be there in a stone, in an unmanifest form, because that stone can't have a sutra or sharira.
Yes, you have answered your
own. No. But apart from that, mm-hmm, one reliably says that the stone, which obviously exists, is suffused with consciousness. One could say that the ruti from the stone, from the image of the stone, is conscious by the time it gets into your mind. But is the stone itself consciousness?
there is consciousness in it, in the sense it is not manifest. That's all we can say. Because if we say that everything is the Atma, and the nature of Atma is consciousness, existence and consciousness, and any product that has come out of from this Atma should naturally have this. So in a I don't know whether you have done a book called Drishya Vivekam. So there it points out that since everything comes from Maya Sahita Brahman, and Brahman is of the nature of Satchit and Ananda, and the Maya accounts for the differences. So in all the things there is Asti Bhati Priyam, which belong to Brahman, and Nama Rupa, which is different, is from the Maya aspect. So there is also this consciousness. Only thing is, as you yourself said, because there is no sukshma shariram to manifest it, therefore it appears inert. That's the answer I can give. I am not able to give you any other answer.
This
moment
is about tishta adishta. Now, if you try a moksha, for example, isn't it that small punyas are thrown in for free for you? In other words, part is made easy for you. Can you say that?
No. Repeat. Sorry. Adishta I talked about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Based on that, now, if you do Kama Yoga or Jnana Yoga,
okay,
try your best for moksha,
then
of course you get punyas of some sort or the other.
Now, yes.
What I'm trying to say is, it's our smaller punyas thrown in for free for you. In other words, the path is made easier. You are made, you're born, you're in the family, things are easier, the children are good, that sort of thing. Can we say that?
Yes, that is why. even listening to the Shastra, you are listening to the Shastra to understand the Atma, but listening to the Shastra in a way is also connecting to Ishvara. Of course, when you are doing Karma Yoga, you are doing Karma with the Yoga Buddhi, which means you are offering it to Ishvara. Then again also that becomes a Punya Karma. But only thing we call it that it is just it is offered to Ishvara with no particular expectation of a pala from Ishvara, in the sense that this is what I want to happen and for this alone I am doing. With that attitude it is not done. But still, if it is a punya karma, I pointed out earlier also that there is some punya in your account. If you are not encashing it as for artha kama, then naturally it makes things conducive for this. That is why in the 6th chapter of the Gita, Arjuna asks a question. So supposing, I mean he takes for instance a person who was taken to sannyasa. That means he has given up a life of running after artha and kama. And he is also not doing any particular ritual and all those things to gain punya to go to higher worlds. Now all that he is interested in moksham, and he is trying for knowledge. So somehow he didn't get the sthiratvam in the knowledge, or he didn't get it. Kam gatim krishna gachati. Will he not be deprived of all the four purusharthas? That is Arjuna's question there. And therefore Bhagavan says there again, whatever was the pratibandha that did not allow him to get that moksha, depending upon that, anyway he has got punya in his account, because all the time he is connected to Ishvara. In fact, in North India, very often people come to Vedanta class, whether they understand or not, because coming and listening to Gita and coming to Vipanishad class, etc., is punyam. So that punyam will always be there. And that punyam, so he goes to punyakritam loka, so he goes to those lokas and he gets born again in shuchinam srimatam gehe. It is said he is born in a family which has got money as well as culture. Therefore, when there is culture and then I mean, when there is money backed by culture, that money is used again for proper usage instead of running after pleasures, and the person picks up the thread, it is said. And if that pratibandha was in the nature of some sort of desire, some sort of vague feeling, perhaps I did not really get some enjoyments in life. If that is so, then he goes through swargadi lokas, punya lokas, and comes back. If some other pratibandha was there, it is said that he is again born in a buddhimatam. So he is born in a family which already is involved in Vedantic vichara and all that, and he picks up the thread. Paurva dehikam buddhim labate, it is said. So he picks up the thread and he goes further. Of course, the question is not that he finished Aitreya Upanishad halfway and then he will pick it up in the next janma from that place. But he understands better. So that punyam will be there, because from Bhagavan, according to Bhagavan's law, whether we don't want it also, he has to put it in our account. Yes?
This is ancillary to Rogiji's initial question. If consciousness is pure knowledge, pure intelligence, know-how, and Jagat is a manifestation of that.
No. So once again, consciousness is not pure knowledge, you cannot say. The minute you say knowledge, then there is some sort of an upadhi has walked in. Consciousness is what manifests through the mind as knowledge or through maya upadhi as knowledge. So only with the maya upadhi, that Brahman that is consciousness becomes sarvajna, Ishvara. So in that all knowledge, whatever is to be created, therefore, is there in that all knowledge, and that is how satapo tapyata satapaha taptva idagum sarvam asrjata. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, it is said that once the creation is to take place, so Bhagavan contemplates, looks back on how with his knowledge, he looks back on how the previous creation, how it went back into its resolution in pralayam, and what is all the karma pala in each person's account, and what is the karma pala now that should manifest, and accordingly the new creation it manifests. So knowledge is a manifestation of consciousness.
It is so this in pralayam and the fact that he thinks about what this knowledge and it projects as Jagat.
Yes.
Is similar to the dream that we create through our pre-existing knowledge.
It can, I mean, that's the nearest example that we can give to make up for us to understand the Ishvara's knowledge manifesting as creation. So when we say Ishvara's knowledge manifests as creation, then there are two in that. So the consciousness and Sat and Chit is there, plus also only with the Maya Upadhi you can talk about knowledge. And in that maya upadhi only, all our karma phala is in an unmanifest condition to manifest.
Using that logic, when if we try to use words, are we objectifying consciousness?
Words with reference to Ishvara, you mean, or what?
Reference to Ishvara, not necessarily Ishvara, the experience. How does one know that experience consciousness?
No. Any word, that's why it's a problem, because it cannot, that is why we say, what word. So, the very Upanishad points out that yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. So, words and minds cannot objectify that. At the same time, the mind, any knowledge is possible only with the mind. So, therefore, manasa eva drashtavyam, elsewhere it is said. So, the only question is, whatever we know, you strip the objective aspect of it and understand it as the adhisthana consciousness. So, any word we are using also, if you look at it, all the words are what concepts we may have, they are really speaking, dismissing words. If at all you can say something positive is said is pure consciousness and pure existence, that's all. Even the word anantam is, it removes away the time-bound nature, the space-bound nature of consciousness and existence. So anantam negates everything. So any word you say shantam, all that you are trying to say is, again, from our angle we know only things of agitation, etc. So we have to say that it is free from agitation. Shuddham, when you say, is pure, free of impurity. So all are really negating words. Every other word is a negating word. That's why you use words to point out something beyond the words. And again, the word beyond also becomes a problem.
This morning you said you'll explain.
Okay. Yesterday, in the class, in the in verse number 63, that word buddhi purva kritam papam was there. So I said there are two meanings. I gave only one meaning. Then yesterday when I concluded the class, I said I'll give the other meaning today. But purposely I avoided giving it. I didn't want to cause a confusion. Now Nandana caught me. So now I will give the meaning. Okay. So we'll just look at the second line, keeping just in mind the gist of the first line. So jnanam, we'll just take it. Jnanam vannivat krishnam papam dahati. So this paroksha jnanam destroys, like even fire destroys, it destroys all papam. Then there is one word there, buddhi purva kritam. This buddhi purva kritam is in the general Sanskrita commentary that we read, he just leaves it in the same way, expecting us to understand the Sanskrit. So, in Ramakrishna Math book, one particular translation is given, which I gave. I think that's why I looked at the book and then I gave. So, buddhehe purvam kritam, buddhi purva kritam, I pointed out. That is jnana. So before, done before jnanam, before the gain of jnanam. Okay. There is some other books give this meaning, buddhi purva kritam, as that is the person deliberately did it. So that is the person planned it as though and did it. Knowingly the person did. So buddhi purva kritam papam means that papam which was done knowingly. So generally what is done, if a wrong is done knowing very well it is wrong, it should be a stronger papam than a papam that is done unknowingly. Both cannot have the same amount of dukkham as its result. Therefore, if this knowledge can destroy even the papam that is done knowingly and willfully, then we have to put it rhetorically, what to talk of the papam that is done unknowingly, that also will get destroyed. Otherwise, if you just translate it as it destroys the papam that is done knowingly, then it brings the question as what about the papam that is done without knowing, and what about the punyam that is done, etc. So that is why I put the word papam as all the punyam and papam which will make me gain birth again, and buddhi purva kritam, I think the better meaning would be all the things that has gained, I mean, that have been done before, because I pointed out today that in the case of an ajnani, we say before this janma, I mean, that is at the beginning of this janma, whatever has started to fructify, taking that away, whatever is left behind is sanchitam. But in the case of a jnani, all that is done before jnanam also is included in the sanchitam. And that is why, keeping that meaning, we can take it, jnanat purvam kritam, done before gain of jnanam. That would be a better meaning. That's answer your question. Okay. Once again, some questions I may be able to answer. I have not recently gone through the Aitreyam, so I may not be able to answer everything. But if you...
The story was that he had Jnanam in the womb, but he had to take birth to tell us about it. So, there was some spirit, some
Jnanam. No, no. He had Jnanam in the womb means, is not. I don't think it would be... He, even while in the womb he had jnanam means, the what he had already got was still there for him, that he did, after taking birth, he did not have to get it from another guru. That would be the meaning, I would take it. Some pratibandha was there, that's why he had to take a birth.
This is what Pranjana Pakam. In our texts, are there texts which describe the effects of various papams and karma, papa karma and punya karma, and how it will roll out in terms of the sanchita? You said it could be next janma or could be eons later that it rolls out when it fructifies. Is there clarification on that?
No. What type of papa karma may get what type of things, etc. Now, there is something called a Garuda Puranam. Now, this Garuda Puranam, generally, people are asked to read it only after somebody close in the family has passed away, and the first 10 days they are asked to read it. This is more to remind people of what can happen to another person, to pray for that person, and also at that time a person starts thinking also of what happens if I die. So that book, people are asked to read that. So it describes a lot of if a person does this type of papa, the type of punishment this person will get, etc. Various things are said. And again in the Purva Bhaga of the Veda, and again also in the Shastra, the Puranas, etc., we get this person did this type of punya karma, therefore this person was born in this way, etc. So, but again, what all go into one particular janma, it is very difficult to say. What are all the combinations, permutations that come into a particular janma, it is difficult to say even from those. So these are all models that we can use. It is not that everybody who has got lot of papa in their account should go to hell, or even being born as animal is one type of dukkha. And again, if at all a person goes to hell and then narakadi lokas and then goes through certain things, that may be another. What all will go together, we don't know.
It's only knowing Brahman. Is it possible to manipulate Brahma? Say, for example, if you wish chocolate, then it will manifest. say, you know, knowing Brahman, you are connected to everything.
Brahman is that which cannot be manipulated. Because you must, to manipulate anything, you should be able to objectify it. And to manipulate anything, it should have some parts, some attributes for you to manipulate. It doesn't have any of them. So therefore you cannot manipulate. What you are manipulating, if at all there is a possibility, you are manipulating the Maya Shakti of Brahman. So, and I think we have better things to manipulate than getting a chocolate.
In the past, there were so many sages and rishis, like Rishi Vashishtha, he used to want to when he was facing Vishwamitra. He learned so much of, he was Brahma Rishi. Because he was Brahma Rishi, he knew how to manipulate, you know, objects. It's part of Brahma.
I don't know whether I will use the word manipulate there. So because of various karma that he had done, various upasanas that he has done, punyam that is there gives him certain shaktis. Many of the upasanas do give people certain shaktis. And with that shakti, when necessary, they may use it. But most people do not unnecessarily use any of these extraordinary shaktis that they get. Now imagine, somebody got a shakti that you can know about anything that is happening to anybody. I think it's the worst thing. I would never like to have it. I am, as such, we are even happy we don't know our past. And we don't know our future. That's why we can at least pay attention to the present. Some poem I have read in the childhood, I remember, whose poem I forget, that the lamb would not be jumping from this side of the road to that side of the road, nibbling here, nibbling there, etc., if only it knew it is going to the butchers. Some English poem only, I forget whose it is. So much, the future is not... We don't, even our own future, luckily, we don't know. Now imagine knowing all that is going to happen to everybody or anything. So the certain things, Bhagavan has really shut off all these things, so as a blessing. So, but it is a fact that the rishis do have certain powers. They use it only if really necessity arises. See, now the same thing that you said. Now, Vasishtha, is faced with the situation, Vishwamitra, when he was a king, before he became a rishi, when he was a king, he demanded that Nandini from Vasishtha. That particular Kamadenu is a general name, that particular one that he had was called Nandini. Okay, so when he demanded that, now, so Vasishtha said, I'm sorry, I cannot give it to you. So when he wanted to take it by force, then Nandini looked at him, you know, pitifully and said, I have served you and you have looked after me so long. How are you allowing Vishwamitra to take me? Then he said, it is my dharma as a Brahmana that I should not be fighting with him. But I am not telling you don't fight. So Nandini shook out so many this thing. So many soldiers which fought with that army and defeated it. Then again the astras were there. He also again just left that Yogadandam there. He did not manipulate. He just allowed that to and. He could not really, his astras could not go beyond that Yogadandam to affect Vasishtha. That's why in that place Vishwamitra says, Dik Kshatriya Balam, Brahma Balam Balam, he says. So this Kshatriya's physical Balam is no use. He says that Atma Balam that he has got, Atma Balam here means the mental that this thing, that is what is the real balam, that is the strength, he says, and that's why he goes to work for gaining this sort of thing by tapas. So when using the word that you said, only when purposely all these are done, I should get these powers, so that I can, with these powers, I can manipulate others and hold them under my sway, then it can be used as manipulation. The word manipulation can be used. Otherwise, they come as offshoots of certain things. They come as secondary results of certain things that they do. Like, you know, the example is given itself. You plant a mango, you plant a mango seed so that you get a mango tree to yield mangoes for you. That it gives shade, and that it gives you mango leaves for all the various festivals are secondary effects. Nobody plants a mango tree because for shade, if you want, any tree you can plant. And nobody plants a mango tree just because I want, every time I have some festival, I want to string the mango leaves. So they are secondary results. Like even, I come to Upanishad class and Gita class primarily because I want knowledge. Secondarily, punyam comes. So that is not what I am interested in. So when these rishis do upasanas, various types of meditations that are talked about, they get certain siddhis. Some people may pay attention to it and may use them if some necessity arises. Some people do not use. Some people, even when they use it, they try to show the world it is not that they have used that. They have sent prayers to the Lord and Lord is looking after. See, you would have heard of Kanchi Paramacharya. Kanchi Paramacharya, till he died, he never allowed anybody to write anything praising him as though he had any supernatural powers or something. After this, now people are just coming out with so many these things. If somebody says, you see, you blessed me that day and this happened to me, he will just say, no, no. Because he, even when he gives this blessing, he will give them that Kamakshi Kumkumam or something, etc. and say, see, Kamakshi Kumkumam blessed you, it's not me. He will say that and then send them, so that always the thing is passed on to the Lord, that I am only a conduit in the Lord's blessing coming. That's all. All of them, really, they make it very clear. Very few people only do it for the sake of power, and then they to manipulate others and have them under their control.
Talking about heaven and hell, we have to be eyeing Tathas all the time. So we are told that you go to heaven, that's for Punya, you go to hell. What decides where we go is the result between both of them. Otherwise, you go to Punya, your father Punya is finished. We are born in this world, we have performed with all the Tathas, the Lord. What decides that you go? Is the result?
No. Still, we have got lot of papa punya in our account. A particular set and a particular type of punya gets exhausted in, which is conducive for heaven going. That gets exhausted there. After going to heaven, if a person is born in human as a human being, one cannot be born as a human being without having punya in the account. So the punyam that was conducive for getting a human birth was not exhausted in Sorgalokas. Some papa is there where it has to be exhausted, perhaps in lokas like Naraka, etc. But still some papam is there, you have to suffer as a human being. So that papa doesn't get exhausted there.
You told Tripudi was Karta, object and Karan. What is meant by dropping Tripudi?
No, okay. Dropping Tripudi means that in that particular place, it means that the mind has become, in that particular context, the mind is just one attuned with the Dhyaya Vastu. The other two are dropped. Therefore, the Bedam between the three also is dropped.
So the object is still there.
the mind is in the very form of the Dhyayavastu.
Is the Dhyayavastu the object?
For practical purposes, we are calling it object of meditation. But here, the object of meditation in Nididhyasanam is the very truth of the meditator. That's why Swamiji sometimes gives a lecture on meditation on the meditator, because it is the...
So that is consciousness.
Yes, the Atma Swarupam.
Okay, so the meditator then is fully absorbed in his own Swarupam.
Yes.
And so his doership is gone.
Doership, that is, I am not even aware that I am the meditator, meditation is taking place. Simply, I remain as a Vastu.
But that ends when the Samadhi ends.
Yes, naturally, because it is a thought process. That's why he talked about when he gets up from this thing, he remembers my mind was absorbed in it.
A little bit similar. Can Nirguna Brahma be recognized?
Again, how are you using the word recognized? I do not know.
This is actually the question. What could you say?
No.
I mean, it's not an object, obviously.
It's not an object. Therefore, you understand it as your very Swarupa, removing away all things which make you think it is an object. When through the Upadis, it makes you think it is different from you. When the Upadis are dropped, you understand it is your own Swarupa. That understanding is a recognition of Nirguna.
Yes,
Swami. I have a question regarding Swami Vidyaranya. The actual suffix Aranya stands for forest. How many other suffixes are there? I've heard, are they 10?
Generally, they say there are dashanamis, they say. So, Saraswati is one. As you see, Swamiji Sishya's having, Aranya is one, Tirtha is one, Giri is one, Puri is one, Bharati is one. Indra Saraswati together. Indra is not separate. I forget the other offhand.
How does it relate to the 4 months?
Some much seem to have those. For example, Saraswati is more, I find, in Kanchi Mat, and depends upon from whom a person took sannyasa. Now, for example, they say Ramakrishna is supposed to have taken sannyasi from Tota Puri. So the Ramakrishna's order of sannyasis call themselves Puri. Now, in the Sringeri Matam itself, we have different distincts. That there are Bharati Tirtha is there. Then his guru was Abhinava Tirtha, but his guru was Chandrasekhara Bharati. So his guru was Narasimha Bharati. So that Bharati word is there. Now Vidyaranya. Vidyaranya's brother who took sannyasa and was earlier is Bharati Tirtha. So some mutts have mainly certain names. So some people, for example, the Kailas Ashram tradition, they have Giri. And even Tirukoyilur near Tirunnamalai, that Jnanananda Giri, he was supposed to be. So his Shishya was called Haridas Giri.
Hiranyagarbha identifies with physical bodies
is called Vishwanara, it was sent here. That without identifying with the causal body, you cannot identify with the sukshma shariram. Without identifying with the sukshma shariram, you cannot identify with the stula shariram. So to show that, at every level he has brought that. It is only that Ishvara who becomes Hiranyagarbha, now who identified with the Sthula Shariram, is called Virat or Vaishvanara. Because it is not possible without the intervening subtle body and the mind to identify straight with the Sthula Shariram. Just one or two small bhajans. Nandana's request. Hari 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 Smaran Karo. Hari 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 Smaran Karo. Hari Charan Kamal Dhyan 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 Karo. Murali Madhava Seva Karo. Saraswati is called Sharadha. So, the Shringeri, the deity in Shringeri, here, she is in the room of, in the Rupa of Saraswati. So, she is called Sharadha. So, we are asking for Jnanam from Sharadha Saraswati.
Dehi Dehi Sharade. Dehi Dehi Sharade. Jnanam dehi sarvada, Jnanam dehi sarvada, dehi dehi sharade.
Dehi dehi sharade.
Nam Dehi Sarvada Nam Dehi Sarvada Yoga Rupini Sharane
Shara.
sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkhavag bhavet, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amritam gamaya. Om Purnamadah Purnamidah Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.